Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to the book of John, John chapter 14. This past Friday, an amazing thing has happened. I think it just is an amazing thing for the United States of America to have one president step down and another step in. And I just think it's marvelous. I am bothered that there were some that protested, but I guess they have the privilege to do that also. But I believe, and as I said in the Sunday school hour, I believe that God is giving America one more chance. And you know who needs to take advantage of it? Is the believers. And I hope that you will keep your new president in your prayers. And I think we'd be doing good right now to pray for our new president. And dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for the opportunity to live in the United States of America. And I thank you that I was born here and that, Lord, I was privileged to grow up here. Lord, we know that they still come from around the world because you have made America great. And one thing that makes America great is gospel preaching churches. And may this church continue to preach the gospel until you call us home. And Lord, as we have now a 45th president, we ask, Lord, that you would have your hand upon him. And we pray, Lord, that you would protect him, his family, asking, Lord, that your will would be done. And help us, Lord, to remember that you have made us great. But Lord, you can take away that greatness. Help us, Lord, to be concerned about the souls of men and women. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The title of my sermon today, and excuse me as I sit down, I hope to soon be able to preach the whole sermon standing up. The title, though, of our sermon today is Dreams and Desires. We are 22 days into the new year. Pastor Kevin Carson says that we need to use the word dream instead of the word resolution. So what is your dream for 2017? World peace, better health, financial security, better debt management, to save more, quit bad habits. I'll give a moment there. You may want to say amen. Begin new disciplines. I'll move along quickly. Getting organized. Better scheduling. Stop procrastinating. Prioritizing families. Restored relationships. Maybe a new job. Grasping a long-held dream. Serving others. Greater giving. Constant church attendance. Regular Bible reading. Daily prayer. He asks the question, for what are you thirsty? And then he makes a couple of thoughts here. Did you know that there are 31,536 seconds this year? 31,536 seconds. Did you know that there are 528,600 minutes? Now, this is the one that's scary. Do you realize that in 2017, there are 8,760 hours? And, of course, we know there are 365 days. So let me ask you a question. Where are you seeking comfort in your daily life? Let us stand together as we read from the book of John chapter 14, and we'll begin reading at verse 15. John 14, beginning at verse 15. And I am so glad that you're willing to spend part of your 31,536 seconds here with us. And it says in verse 15, if ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth in you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. In verse 27, peace I leave you, or leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Dear Heavenly Father, as we look into this portion of Scripture, and as we continue in the book of John, may we be encouraged, Lord, that you are our comfort and you are our peace. And thank you, Lord, for all you provide. In Jesus' name we pray, and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. In your mind's eye, see Jesus in the upper room with 11 of his disciples. Judas has left. He has gone to get men that will arrest Jesus. And there he is with 11 of his disciples, and maybe some of his followers are also there that have come maybe from Bethany or from Galilee. Jesus has instituted the Lord's Supper. And now, even though he knows that within a few hours he will begin a very grueling period of time, he will be arrested, he will be mocked, he will be put through trials, he'll be beaten and scourged, he will be crucified, and yet he is taking time to minister to his disciples. May I say this? Jesus lives that quote or that thought of it is more blessed to give than to receive. And in verse 16, he says, I will pray the Father and he shall give you another comforter. He makes intercession for us. The act of interceding, prayer, petitions, or asking for favor of another. And may I say this, never pray to Mary. Or to one of the disciples, or to angels, or to your long-lost grandma. Pray asking that Jesus will make intercession. Verse 17 tells us that he is going to send a comforter, the third part of the Holy Trinity. And that Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, will bring peace and guidance. Some of us were at the funeral home yesterday down in Warren for Tyler Neamy, 19 years old. And I had a number of people tell me of the peace that the Lord had given them during this period of time of loss, both for the mother and grandmother and others, that only the Holy Spirit, that only the Lord can give during those times. But Jesus says he is the truth. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. And now he says that he is going to send the Spirit of truth. Remember this, time is precious. I mean, there's only so many million seconds in this year, and time is precious. Remember this, though, that truth is precious, and truth is more important than time. Thank God if you know the God of the Bible and you know the truth of the Word of God. The Lord says, I will not leave you comfortless. Some of you have gone through very difficult periods of time in your life. maybe illness, maybe the loss of income. Maybe you've had a mate leave you. Maybe you've had children, bother you by their actions. I remember that there are times in which we will go through difficult times and there'll be nobody there but our Lord. Paul said that all had forsaken him except the Lord. And there are times like that. We find that it says that the Holy Spirit will teach us all things that we need to know. And we find that Jesus said that the Holy Spirit would promote him. I do know that there are some churches that want to put the Holy Spirit above Jesus, but we find that Jesus is the one that receives the honor and glory. If you would, turn to chapter 16 of the book of John. We'll read just two verses. Verses 13 and 14. And it says in verse 13, "Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you in all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he saith, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me." I think it's important that we remember that every knee will bow and every mouth will confess that Jesus is Lord. And though the Holy Spirit is to be honored and to be remembered and to be loved and to be desired, it's Jesus who we are here to remember for his great act of sacrifice and vicarious death. "Do my dreams and desires bring glory to our Lord and Savior?" The Bible often discusses the necessity of testing ourselves. And we are to test our desires. If you would, the book of Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. We are to test what is good and acceptable in the eyes of the Lord. Don't be confused by what the world says is good and important. What does the Lord say is good and important? And in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, it says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Are our desires acceptable to the Lord? Number two, we are to test the spirits to see if they are from God. Let me read to you from 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, where John says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God's, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." There are many today who will proclaim false teachings, that will talk about feel-good thoughts, that will talk about you do good to everyone and everything is going to be fine. I certainly am glad that I do not believe in reincarnation. I certainly would not want to come back as an Erwig. But there are many false prophets out there. Matthew 24:24, "For there shall arise false prophets and false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." Be careful. There are those out there that will try to manipulate your thinking, and they come from a humanistic point of view. The book of Mark, talking from the same area, says to seduce the elect. How important it is that we realize that we have the truth and it should be precious to us. 2 Corinthians, if you would please, quickly, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. We'll begin reading at verse 13 down through verse 15. We need to test the spirits to see if they are from God. And it says in verse 13, "For such are false prophets, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ." In other words, some will come in the name of Jesus Christ. "And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." Be careful. There are those out there that would deceive you. Test to determine what is excellent in the sight of our Savior. If you would, Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. You ever been at a buffet? Let me ask you this. Is there anyone in this room that has never been to a buffet? Would you raise your hand? You've never been to a buffet. I want to make sure that we're all in the same starting place. Good. I'm glad all of us have at one time or another been to a buffet. My wife and I were recently at the place there, the Grand Hotel. Now, we've been to Mackinac Island a number of times, and Donna said, "Why don't we have lunch at the Grand Hotel?" And so I said, "Okay, I think we can do that. Our tickets are already purchased to get back to the mainland." And so we went to the Grand Hotel, and we went up and we purchased the ticket to get us into the buffet. And may I say this, and I say this without any contradiction, that is the best buffet I've ever had in my life. It was marvelous. Well, other than that pee thing. I don't understand why you would have peas or, well, never mind. Praise God, there isn't pea pie. But you know what I liked at the Grand Hotel's buffet is that the desserts tasted as good as they looked. Have you ever taken a bite of some dessert and you thought to yourself, "Now there's a wasted 5,000 calories"? Yes, the world will try to make themselves look better than the Lord. And it's the Lord who we should be trying to please. Your book, the book of Philippians chapter 1, and we'll begin reading at verse 9. "And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in the knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense to the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God." May I say this, may we do that which is pleasing to our Lord and will bring honor to him. We need to test our motives. The book of Psalms in the 19th Psalm, if you would please, test our motives. Now, I want you to know that whenever I am nice to Donna's dogs, it's for Donna's sake. And my motives are purely selfish. I want her to know I love her, and thus I am good to her dogs. I had a trip to the dentist on Thursday. Don't you love going to the dentist? Can you tell my sarcasm? And as I sat down in the chair, I apologized to the hygienist for all the dog hair on my pants. Now, I realize that things are a little static right now, and so as you walk through our house, and please come on over with the, especially black pants, and walk through our house and collect dog hair, and then you can go home. But what are our motives for serving the Lord? Are you superstitious? A lot of people are superstitious. And they believe that if they don't do the right thing, God's going to squish them. God loves us. And he longs for all of us to repent and to get things right with him. His desire is that we will come to him and accept him as Savior. But what are our motives? Psalm 19, beginning at verse 12, who can understand his errors? We're talking about the servant from above. Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my what? My Redeemer. We are saved only through the redemption that Jesus Christ provides, through his shed blood. And the psalmist writes here that he asks that the words and meditation of the heart be acceptable. He needs to test our desires, Psalm 106. Psalm 106, verse 13 through 15. Are our motives right? Are we serving the Lord for his honor and glory and not so that people will come up and pat us on the back? I appreciate it when we have someone come and sing for us, and appreciated, Randy, you singing Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. But Randy is not to sing so that we will congratulate him on it. Now, there's nothing wrong in saying, no, the Lord blessed me through your song. But if someone is singing only for their own honor and glory, folks, I don't want them to sing here. Our motives and our desire should be to bring honor to our Lord. And it says in verses 13 through 15, they soon forgat his works. They waited not for his counsel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert. And he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. What are our desires? May I say this? I believe it's important that we have a desire as believers to be blessings to others. In the bulletin, you see that you have given $855 to the church there in Roaring Fork, Baptist Church in Gatlinburg that was burned down in the recent fires there in Gatlinburg, Tennessee. And I thank you for your desire to want to help those believers. Before that, at the Christmas time, we took up an offering for missionary David Ross, who has been suffering because of illness and a fall and has been in hospital for many weeks. And you were willing to give almost $1,000 to help him and the medical costs. I thank you for your willingness to help. And I believe that we should have desires to help one another. And I believe that the Lord has allowed us the income to help others. What are our motives and what are our desires? When Paul describes the depth of mankind's sinfulness, he explained how ultimately mankind exchanges the worship of God for the created thing. That which comes from the lust within us. If you would, the book of Romans again, chapter 1, and we'll begin reading at verse 20. Too often we look at the outside, we look at a man on the outside or woman on the outside and say, oh, they're special. What does the Lord have to say about us? And we're going to begin reading at verse 20, the book of Romans. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. Isn't it interesting that man wants to say that we're here by chance? But we were created, and it's clearly seen. Being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Neither were thankful. but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. God's desire is that we will serve him and worship him. Man's desire is to honor himself. We need to make sure that we are where we belong spiritually. In conclusion, we find in 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Isaiah 42:8 says, I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Our desires, our motives, are they God-honoring? The Lord in the Garden of Gethsemane, Matthew chapter 26, said, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Where does true comfort come from? It comes from our Lord. When does true comfort come? When we are obedient to our Lord. Shall we stand together?